and just keep playing, you got to add to what you started. I'm with T-Rob. Gas on the fire, Tony.
But also, you have to manage a football game. So there's a time to throw gas on the fire.
Oh, I'm with that. I'm with that.
And there's a time to
manage. I want to call.
And he did neither. Butch Jones did neither.
I agree. I've carried Butch Jones' water this whole time, and I want to go ahead and tell you, he absolutely tonight, whether it's him or if it's the coordinators, it still falls back on him. He's a final decision. I've got to go ahead and admit, tonight, the call playing let me down, and that was weak. Play calling. When you're on the half yard line, my son, who plays the thing on the TV, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, makes better decisions and knows what to do on a dadgum arcade game. He knows better. He's not going to kick a field goal in an arcade game. He goes for it. Well, if you can't do that in an arcade game, why can we do it in a real game, Tony?
That's what, you keep saying that Butch Jones needs to learn from this. He needs to get better. Well, the caller said it. This is the second time this happened. This is the Florida game last year all over again, right down to the checkerboard crowd and the fans.
Yeah.
You've got a lead, but it's not big enough, and you sit on it. You got to put the pedal to the metal and go win the game.
Yeah.
This has happened before.
We've had Bruce Pearl. We've had Donnie Tindall. He needs to settle down and leave us alone. We know what to do. Get the coaches in line. But listen, he is a good recruiter. He's done a good job getting the program there. I think he's an excellent practice coach as well, Tony. Would you agree? I think he's
I think he runs a great practice. His problem is
in games.
His problem is
I love you guys.
Game. Yeah.
Love you guys.
And I think part of what Butch Jones' problem is that he can't relax.
He's uptight. Look at Les Miles. Les Miles won that game.
How?
He's goofy over there. The guy looks like he's on drugs over there on the sideline, man. He's relaxed. He's chill. And that filters down to his players. His players are relaxed. And it filters down to Butch Jones' players. His players are tight.
Overreacting Vol with the tweet of the night. Tony, read off George Quarles' record versus ranked teams. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Patrick Doyle Dotson says Tennessee is going to lose 5 to 6 games with this staff. Fulmer would win 9 games with this team. Interesting. Jones isn't going to change. All capital letters. You're wrong. They're not going to lose. They will not lose 5 or 6 games with this team. There's no way. But even if they do, if they beat Florida, I'll live with it. If they lose to Florida and go 7-5, I'll be urinated off. Back to the phones we go. Somebody just compared our football coach to Josh Pastner. That's a pretty interesting comparison.
Wow.
Let's get in the mix and in the hunt with our next caller. Hello and welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing? I'd just like to say, Tony, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. Russell, and obviously Tony Robinson. This is ridiculous. I really don't even know where to go right now because I got T-Rob on the other line with me. I don't even know what to do right now.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Yeah, fantastic, guys. Listen, nobody's talking about, it's Butch Jones and it's his offense, but he put Mike DeBoard in there, who is a 60 plus year old coach, who is a run first guy. Does he have any idea what to do with a quarterback like Josh Dobbs? I'm just curious what you guys think about that.
Tony, what do you say?
Well, Tony, I think they've been around him long enough to know what Josh can do, you know, and you got to do what he does best. And you know, Josh obviously he's a good runner. And he passed the ball well, but you got to continue doing what he does well, and also you know and work around it, work with that in the team, and also Jalen was running the ball well, offensive line was blocking well, you know, so we should have more play action passes, I think, more passes to the tight end, getting the ball and stretching the ball, you know, stretching the field a little bit more, you know, so we can open, you know, and making them pay when they blitz. You know, that's, I was looking at the game, and I could see it. I said, here they come, they're coming. Make them pay.
And there's no There's no recognition of that. They just let those ends come, Tony, unencumbered with impunity, and you got to punish guys. You got to throw the ball, swing the ball back at that end spot. When he comes like that, you got to swing the ball back at him.
Right. You know.
Do you guys agree with me? I'm thinking, in my opinion, I'm thinking our defense didn't necessarily lose the game tonight. I think
they were great. Our defense deserved game balls, all 11 of them.
Our offense lost the game because we were doing fantastic in the first quarter, you know, the first quarter and then, you know, a little bit into the second quarter. And then after that, our offense lost everything. So it seems like our offense lost the game for us tonight.
What's sad about tonight's game is that as a total team, Tennessee played very well. Russell, the special teams were very good outside of the one field goal missed. The kick coverage teams were very good. The punter was incredible. They have found a damn... I'm going to tell you something that's weird about that kid. Is that
MVP. MVP something.
Here's what's weird about him.
I like that he's a little chubby.
He's kind of chubby, so he looks like he should be kicking at Penn State. Chubby. I love fat kickers.
Yeah.
But not only that, he was indistinguishable in the summer. He didn't really kick the ball all that well in the summer. None of those guys did.
All 3 years under Butch Jones. The first year we were all freaking out because Pilardi had a horrible junior year,
and
he was really good. Mm-hmm. Last year we were all freaking about Dar because he hadn't done anything to distinguish himself. He did really well.
He's with
and
the
we
guy.
We're freaking out about it again this year, and it looks like Trevor Daniels is going to do well.
Matt Dar made the Miami Dolphins. He's kicking tomorrow. Get you some of that.
But this is what it is. We're celebrating our punter. This is what it's come to.
Go ahead on the phone lines there. Finish this up, man. Thank you.
Great call. Listen. I just want to say to the Tonys, no offense to you, Russell. I listen to you, you know, whenever I get a chance. But Basilio, I've been listening to you since I was in high school. And T-Rob, dude, my uncle and my dad brought me to see the Tennessee game in 1985 against UCLA. My first instance with Tennessee football. And, you know, it's an honor for me to be on the phone with you guys, and I hope you guys have a good night.
Thank you. And Russell's not offended by that. Russell was a young puppy. I started
pretty
the
hurt.
Business.
Pretty
he,
hurt.
He finds me, Russell finds me demented. He gets the...
I take that personal.
Russell was arguing... Hey, Tony, Russell was arguing with some housewife lady on Twitter tonight.
Oh, I wasn't.
Tell him not to do that, Tone. I want to argue with these women. I treat the women with respect on Twitter, Tony.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not there with you guys, but I can't see you. So I don't know. You know, Tony might be playing a joke on me.
Back to the phones we go. I got, and this is no joke. This is your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. I'm Tony Basilio. He's Russell Smith. Tony Robinson, former Vol great, who's back in town working on his degree, is around the program, was at the game tonight, said he sat up there in Section Y up high because he wants to see the game from up high in the end zone. He believes that's the best place to watch a football game because you get to look at what the quarterback's looking at. We'll be doing a TV show this week, beginning on Fox 43 this week in Knoxville, 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., quick half hour, in and out type show. And let's go back to our phones and get our next call in at 1:07 in the Eastern Time. All three lines are jammed. Hello and welcome.
Hey, is this me?
It is absolutely you.
Hey, let's just start with this. Tony, it's me. It's Manvel. I am fishing in Orange Beach, Alabama. I am in the territory of the enemy. So, the wife, the kids, all of us, we're at a freaking bar in south of Alabama for three quarters. They're scared. They didn't want nothing to do with us. They thought when we rolled and when we were going to roll down south that they were scared. They had nothing to do. And then for the last quarter, what happened? We gave them a game. Gave it away. We absolutely gave that game away. And by the way, Tony Robinson in 1985, I'm 14 years old, was the freaking best season of my life. Son, I'm sorry you had your knee injury. It was freaking, you don't understand. I'm glad you're back. Glad you're back.
Thank you. Glad to be back, man. Great to be back.
Tony, I've been coaching baseball, middle school, for 14 years. I've won, I don't have many trophies. I remember the phrase that our team has won, I don't have many trophies. Our freaking head coach absolutely gave that ball game away. You're up 17 points. And you want to freaking hand that thing over to Oklahoma to take over? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You take Jalen Hurd and you hand it to him and you drive it down their damn throat until they can't stand it no more. He's 6'3", he's 230, and you're just keep giving it to him. How hard is that as a coach? As a middle school baseball coach, in the history of the 14 years that I've been doing it, not one time, not once, have I told my catcher what play to call, what signal to call, what whatever to call. I coach him before we get there. It's a freaking travesty that I'm down here right now. For three quarters, the Alabama fans, for three quarters, they're freaking like, we don't want nothing to do with you. We're scared of you. But for that last quarter, what they want to do, they want to run their mouth. They want to run their freaking mouth. So I'm down here deep in Orange, Alabama, trying to take up for the Big Orange. And we got a head coach at a 17-point lead. Are you kidding me? And you want to act like you're scared? You put your foot on the throat, the hill, and you freaking drive it down, and you end it. I've never met a coach in my life that was that damn stubborn or stupid, whichever one that it is. And I don't understand it. And thank you for being on this late, this long, for the Tennessee fans.
Thank you. Great talking to you. And have a very good rest of the trip. Sounds like you're working on it right now.
We actually, this has been a more sober show than
what
I would
you
expected.
Want it to be? What did you think it was going to be? It's like a funeral.
I would have expected to just
people yell and scream.
Be a little bit more intoxicated. Not complaining.
Hey, Tone.
Go ahead, Tone.
Let's go back to that possession time. You said we had the ball for 27 minutes.
All right, Tone.
We had it for 27 minutes, and we had it for 30-something minutes.
Time of possession. I'm looking at the official numbers. You ready? Overall,
yeah.
The game. They had the ball 27 minutes, 20 seconds. We had it 32 minutes, 40 seconds.
Okay, well, but it doesn't say how many minutes we had in the second half.
Second
that was the problem
half,
on the first half.
Second half stats. You ready?
Yeah.
Here are the second half numbers. Through the end of the third quarter, they had the ball 23 minutes, 39 seconds. We had it 21 minutes and 21 seconds. In the second half, overall, in the first half, we had the ball 15 minutes and 7 seconds. They had it 14 minutes and 53 seconds. In the second half, we had it 17 minutes, 33 seconds, and they had it 12:27. And I don't know why that's hard for you to believe, because, Tony, what happened was we fooled around with the ball, and we in a couple drives we got first down.
Yeah.
But they got it twice and scored twice. That was the difference. They got it it inside 9 minutes. They went down and scored and then scored again.
And scored. Yeah, because we second half, right, we come out looking good.
Got over midfield.
We got a couple penalties.
That's right. We got over midfield, and then we stubbed our toe. That's right. We got it all the way down deep into their territory. Looked like we were going to put the game away.
Yeah. And, I mean, once we got those penalties at our first possession in the second half, and we got those penalties, it seems like we just let all the air went out of us. Just air just went out of us. You know, we just stopped. You know what I'm saying? We just, hey, throw a hand in, you know, like, what's going on here?
Completely
and,
agree.
You know, it's just some calls that I could, you know, it's just some calls that, I couldn't, we made some,
bad offensive calls, you know. And we had some poor execution to go along with that.
We had a six-play, 45-yard drive.
Right.
That covered 135 to go to begin the third quarter. We got all the way deep into their territory, down to their 30, and missed a field goal. Wasn't even close. And then we go like this. Ready, guys? We go 6 plays, 11 yards, and punt.
Yeah.
Then we go, our next drive in the third quarter was 3 plays, 1 yard, and punt.
Uh-huh.
And then we go 8 plays, 8 yards, covering 231. See, that we had a couple of really wasted sort of drives.
Drives, definitely.
And then, we had a 3-play minus 11, which is the one I kept talking about.
Uh-huh.
Where after the interception, we got the ball deep in their territory.
Territory, and then capitalize on that one.
At their 29, and then we started from our 20 and our 20. And that was and that was the ball game. We only had the ball twice in the fourth quarter, and one of them was to run the clock out.
And we did, and we fumbled on that. I mean, and we didn't do anything with it. Nothing.
No.
We're doing anything with it. Nothing,
so,
man.
So,
nothing.
So Tennessee, at the end of the day, deserved to not win tonight, basically.
Yeah.
Even though we deserved to win. Let's go back to our phones.
Mm-hmm.
865-200-5402. Next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway, Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
Hey, Tony, I'm just glad I got in before I have to leave for church. It's Don.
Isn't that true? Thank you.
Yeah. Tony, just to show you, you've been asking the question about, and the question come up about whether our coach could learn. And then there's reference to the him losing to Dooley. If you remember that game, there was two plays turned that game. One, we scored, and then we recovered an onside kick. That was the positive. But the other thing, and I remember I was so joyful, they were running, they were inside our five. I can't remember what yard line. Maybe the 1 or 2 yard line, right before halftime, and Butchie Boy kicks a field goal on fourth down when he has a chance to either tighten the game up or take the lead. So, no, he hasn't changed since the Dooley game, so he ain't changing. Because he done the same thing tonight, even closer to the goal line than he did against Tennessee.
Don, are you losing faith in him?
I have. You know me, I've always, you know, I stick with him as long as I can. But tonight, I mean, I looked at my wife just as soon as he lined up for that field goal, and I said, this will bite us in the butt. And it did. And I had no confidence that when they run our kicker out there, that he's going to make a 47-yard field goal. Now, I don't know what's the matter with him. He was a really good kicker last year. And, you know, the two he missed last week, and that one tonight, I mean, it's not like, you know, it hit an upright or crossbar. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, he lined that thing up on that right hash mark, and he kicked that baby right down that right hash mark.
Looks smart, yeah.
The other thing is, excuse me, you mentioned it before. I'm sitting here saying, okay, we've held them 3 points for three quarters. I know we like to run our, you know, run up there and do it quick. Run this freaking clock. And, of course, no, they wasn't going to do that. They scored the time score of 40 seconds. What if we just have used our brain and ran the clock down? Then, you know, those 40 seconds wouldn't have been there. They'd have been desperate, you know, trying to heave the ball down the field, playing right into, you know, our hands there. And then, after doing nothing for the whole second half, how come is it that when we started overtime, we just click, 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 touchdown? I mean, that makes no sense. Other than the fact, what happened? Well, they give it to Jalen Hurd. What did he do? He scored.
He scored, yeah.
I mean, it was just, I mean, we start the second half with a 31-yard run by Hurd, about a 15-yard pass. You know, we're like 45-yard, two plays, and then we start going backwards, doing stupid stuff. And by the way, the pig man, they gave him about one time on a jet sweep. He goes 12, 15 yards. They couldn't even tackle him. He drove the pile. That's the last time we seen Pigman until, oh, something else they didn't do all night. I could be wrong, and you guys correct me. People were saying online when I was following online, when are we going to throw a slant? When are we going to throw a slant? Well, we threw the first overtime. That's when we threw the slant.
Blitz. When they're blitzing, throw the slant route on us. Throw the slant. You catch a little blitz, throw the slant. Bam. Break a tackle, we got six.
But we play 60 minutes of football without throwing the slant. And then when we have to try to do something in overtime, first thing we do is we throw a slant for a 7-yard pickup.
Yeah.
It's just, it's on the coaching staff, guys. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. Now we give up 31 points, lose a game in a game that for three quarters we gave up 3 points. And it's not just because we got tired and we lost a couple, you know. Losing McGitt in the first half, that didn't help. Losing TK, you know, before overtime, that wasn't going to help. But still, and yeah, we got some raw calls. I know Russell's waiting for me to say it. But that interference when that ball bounced off the brick wall in there, I mean, as the rule changed, there was an uncatchable ball still in the rule book.
Oh, no, Butch Jones wanted that tonight. And I'll tell you another thing that he had, that I think another deal that they had a couple of procedure penalties on their offensive line.
On the offensive line, they didn't call them. Yeah,
they refused to call. Yeah. There were two in that
two
drive.
Rumble. Yeah.
Two that they missed.
And on top of that, I was listening a little bit, and of course it was running behind, you know, the game broadcast.
Uh-huh.
They said on the touchdown pass, and I believe it was Tim Priest, said it was an illegal formation. They had five men in the backfield. Now, I didn't catch that myself, but I'm pretty sure it's exactly what Tim Priest called. So they missed that on top of the two procedure penalties. But, you know, but even tonight, that, as I hated all that and officiating and da-da-da-da, it's all on the coaches. Plus, we got a couple breaks, guys. Come on.
That's well put.
I mean, they had a couple strips.
Oh, my God, that was such a fumble. Tony, do you think that was a fumble on Josh Dobbs there at midfield when he was still up and they pulled the ball out?
Well, he was stopped. He was stopped. He wasn't going anywhere else, you know. And, you know, it was the right call. I think it was the right call. It was the right call. Cause his momentum, he wasn't going forward anyway. He was going, you know.
No, he
couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything else. So you got to you call him down. You know, that's what's taking the quarterback also. You know what I'm saying?
But that really, Tony, could have gone either way. I mean,
well,
really.
It could have, but it was the right call because he was, you know, his momentum, he wasn't going, he was going backwards. You know what I'm saying? So the play was about over with.
You know what really, makes me angry about tonight, Don?
What's that?
We lost a game where we got basically every break up to a certain point. Now,
yes,
right.
Because those fumbles could have been catastrophic.
Oh, yes.
Against us. But I give Hurd a lot of credit on one of them for getting hurt. Was it Hurd? Who was it that dove in there? And I think it was Wolf. Wolf missed a block and he got Dobbs blindsided. And then he had the wherewithal to not pout after he missed the block, but he followed the play and he ended up falling on the football there. That was a huge recovery in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
And then there were a couple other early season, the balls on the ground kind of deals. We did everything but win tonight. That's what's gross about that game.
Yeah.
That's what's disgusting.
There's one other play. That you guys haven't brought up. The one of the few pretty passes Dobbs threw was to Ellis for a touchdown, and he dropped it. You remember the play I'm talking about? The guy had pretty passes.
Oh, absolutely. He was wide open.
Oh, and he throws it just past the defender, hits Ellis. He's running toward the end zone. It's six.
Now, what Todd Blackledge said on that play was that he should have thrown it sooner. And I don't know if I... Tony, do you agree with that? Did he throw that ball late to Ellis?
Well, it was perfect.
That was a hot... I think it was a hot read or something like
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get it to him earlier, but when he scrambled out, the tight end should have had that ball. That was a catchable ball. It was, you know what I'm saying? That was a drop on his part. Yeah, he should have caught that ball. That was one that got away from him. You know what I'm saying? That was one that got away from us right there. Because that ball should have been caught.
Yep, and that was six. Yep. That was six. And
that was a good, that would have been a big play. That would have been a big play for us right there. Big play.
See, another big play, you're talking about us getting all the breaks early but not late. On either their scoring drive to or their first scoring drive in overtime, you know, they hit a pass across the middle. The guy gets racked about the six. Fumbles and gets his own fumble back.
But now those two penalties hurt us. Those holding calls. Those two right there were crucial.
Oh yeah, Coach blew that. I looked at my wife when we turned down that
man-yard
penalty. I said, "What is he freaking doing?" We got them, like you mentioned before. You got them backed up in their own end zone, first and 25. Every chance in the world. I mean, I would rather them, even if we didn't get something because of the noise, I would rather them have three plays to get 25 than two plays to get 15. It's simple math.
Yeah. But also, I think defense played well. They played well tonight. But we missed a lot of sacks tonight. We missed a lot of sack opportunities tonight. Man,
well, there was one that turned into a sack. I think it was the only one that Barnett had. I don't know who the other big guy was, but Barnett is sacking the quarterback, and another one of our guys comes over and hits Barnett coming across.
Barnett, yeah.
and knocks Barnett off the guy. Of course, he tripped him on up anyhow, but still, I'm like, hey, don't do that. You know, hit their guy, not our guy. But, you know, it's just really hard to say. We have waited so long to finally be relevant again. I mean, even though I don't think Oklahoma is a great team, I do expect them. I mean, Baylor and TCU is going to murder them.
Oh, they're going to beat the living hell. How bad, Russell, will Baylor and TCU beat that Oklahoma team we saw tonight? If they roll that white turkey quarterback out there and try to score whim for whim with those two teams.
Well, apparently Floyd Mayweather dispatched some clown, just beat him in every round, just beat him to within an inch of his life. I'd imagine it'll be something that happened tonight. This Berto guy, I'd imagine it'll be something like that.
And on the other hand, our coach will probably get knocked out by Ronda Rousey.
Don, thank you. That might be the line of the night. Donnie boy. Donnie boy, show me something. Of course, Tony said he would let Ronda Rousey win. Isn't that right, Tony?
Say what now?
You find Ronda Rousey attractive, don't you, Tony?
Ronda.
You ever seen her? Ronda Rousey, the MMA fighter?
No, I haven't seen her.
You have the internet, Tony, your house?
Yeah, I have internet, yeah.
All right, well, why don't you look up Ronda Rousey for me?
Ronda Rousey, let me look that up, then. Let me go to the box and see what's going on.
Yeah, go to the box. Let's go back to the phones. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Tony Basilio, Tony Robinson, Russell Smith, 1:30 in the AM.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, hello and welcome.
This is Daryl. I call every now and then.
Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for being there.
I went to the game today. I'd like to give my perspective being at the game and then my take on Butch Jones. I'm at the game. And before the first quarter was over, I looked at my guys and I said, man, this feels like an Alabama game. Even though we were beating them, something didn't feel right. I'm not going to say I thought we were going to lose or something. But even when we got up 17-0, it felt kind of different to me. It felt like we kind of, I'm not going to say we stumbled into it, but almost completely take it. We're up 17-0. And then at halftime, I'm looking at the guys and I'm like, I hope Butch Jones doesn't think that first half effort is going to be the effort that it's going to take in the second half to get us to win. And that's exactly what he tried to do. Well, Oklahoma's coming out trying to do different things, and we come out and we try to stay status quo. It just didn't work. It just didn't work at all. You know what I'm trying to say? My take on Butch Jones is, and I'm the last person to call for heads and all that kind of stuff, and actually, even though people don't want to hear me say it, he's the best guy for the job right now, unless you know somebody else. He's done everything 100% right except coach on the field, all right? Hopefully he can get this team to a point where we can start out-talenting people again. I know nobody wants to hear that, okay? But at this point, I think I have, and a couple of callers said it before, I think I've lost confidence in him. I don't think I've got any confidence in him on the field, and I don't know if I'm going to get it back because it's the same song, different verse. Now, at what point am I going to keep hoping and wishing that this is the game, this is the game, when we've seen this story before? We've seen it before.
Well, we're having two conversations here tonight, because the truth is, if you're going to compete with top teams, you got to have players. He's a great guy to get players for you. He really is. And he's a great program guy. You know, he's a great morale guy, and he's a great fan base guy, and he does a lot of the things that you really need to do in modern day college football. And he's great, Tony will tell you, he's great with former players and opening the door, and does a lot of things that Derek really just never did. So there's a lot to like and to celebrate and applaud. See, I knew Butch Jones from Cincinnati. I don't know if you were hearing me say this earlier, but I used to, with my son, we had a little tradition before I started doing this. We went to Cincinnati games. We'd go to at least one a year. And so I got to see them under D'Antoni. I got to see them under Brian Kelly. And then I got to watch them under Butch Jones. And I've always watched Cincinnati. I'm kind of like UC is one of my favorite college football teams because they're innocent and off the beaten path, never going to compete with Tennessee, you know, yada, yada, yada. And so I got to tell you, when he got this job, I knew he would be able to recruit. I thought he'd be able to do it, but I didn't think he'd be a good enough game day coach to be here long term. And I really haven't seen anything from him yet to change my mind. But I'm like you. I do believe it becomes a point where you reach critical mass with this stuff, where you amass so much talent. No offense to Philip Fulmer, but that's what he did. He had so much talent that they just went out and murdered people. And so eventually, you get to that point. I'm going to tell you though, I saw Butch at his previous stop. I didn't see him at a stop before that, but this is exactly the guy I saw at Cincinnati. And you can ask Russell, he's sitting right here. I told him this off the air when we hired him. That's how this guy is. He is a goofy game day coach. Not a dumb coach. Not a bad coach.
You told us all. I listened to your show. I rarely call in. I'm just not able to. But you told us all. I remember your assessment of Butch Jones when he got hired. And you even had you were talking to somebody that actually lives out there currently or something. You gave the whole rundown, and it has worked. It has happened right.
That's exactly right. You have a good memory. I had Eric Waddell on with me, and he went line for line from what we're going to get. And he even said he's going to number your teams. This was before he even started the team numbering. He's going to say, and back at Cincinnati, he said, you're going to do it for the C. And here he says, you're going to do it for the T. And look, you know, all those slogans and all that marketing and all that stuff he does is great if you can win a game like this every once in a while. You've got to win a game like this every once in a while to keep your fans interested. You just do.
Listen, he's a genius, but he's not a genius on the field. And I'm not ready to give up on him yet because I feel he's one of us. But, you know, let me say a couple more things, too. We talk about getting players and hopefully being able to out-talent teams. But you've got to let your horses run. So even when we get the talent, what has he shown us to this point that he's even going to let the talent go out and win it for you?
Well, that's right.
I'm talking to my brother tonight who lives in Chicago, okay? And he texted me after the game talking about, well, you know, I don't like your quarterback. He didn't seem like a passer, and you don't have any playmakers. That's embarrassing. Because it's not a true statement, but he wouldn't know any different watching that Oklahoma game on ESPN tonight. Now, so when we get even more talent and more depth, how do I know he's not going to just teach them all to go into a shell when it's winning time?
When you're, here's the thing. When he gets five quarterbacks here, what he's going to have in a year and a half, how's he going to manage that?
Well, some of them when are going to transfer.
But he can't manage his, he can't manage five wide receivers. There's a couple guys over there that are all upset.
They just run them in and out. Have a three quarterback rotation. You have a first quarter quarterback, a second, and a third, a fourth quarter quarterback.
I mean, I don't even want, when I watch their wide receiving core, and Tony said it earlier, and Jerry Colquitt said it earlier, and I guarantee if you call Swain with this, he would tell you, you can't be in the game for 1.5 plays and be yanked off the field.
Right. Yeah.
Other teams do not do. These guys think they're reinventing the game. I would like him just to coach the game and not have a sleep coach and everybody drinks their own smoothie. How about if we just line up in the damn I formation when we're up 17-0 and beat Oklahoma tonight?
They were going to do that this week, Tony, but the time they were going to spend preparing that package had to be canceled in favor of working out the new first down cheer.
Which nobody tried, by the way.
Nobody did the first down cheer?
We heard that's another first down for Tennessee, and people were too busy just screaming and yelling. I heard no attempt by the cheerleaders or any, I don't even know if anybody knew about it. Matter of fact, the people I was going with, I was like, hey, what do y'all think about that new cheer for today? They all looked at me like, what are you talking about? Like, have y'all not heard about the new cheer? I explained it to them. They all laughed. I think they thought I was joking or something. So I'm in the game trying to figure out, okay, how many people are actually going to do this? Nobody tried it. If anybody even knew about it, it was dumb to start with, and I'm glad that it's dead after the first game.
Well, how about that series in the first half where Butch Jones is flipping out on the sideline because the band is playing Rocky Top when he has the ball? Remember that? He's trying to get everybody to quiet down. Well, you're the one saying that you want them to do this loud, choreographed cheer every time you get a first down.
Now,
do you not see the hypocrisy there?
You've been championing that, and I figured you were full of crap when you were there. You've been championing that for the last couple of weeks, and now you're finally giving your true colors of what you think about that dumb cheer that's already in the coffin and needs to stay there. But I got.
See, how do you play to that? You gonna let this guy take you on at 1:35 in the morning like that? He's undressed you. Has the exhaustion?
I think it's a great cheer. I think if Tennessee fans had executed the cheer properly, we'd be sitting here celebrating a big victory.
That's funny. I hope you don't come out with that on Monday. That's going to be pretty funny.
It's fans' fault, Tony.
Hey, I got one more thing to say, and I don't mean to do Butch like this, but I want to put this in perspective in a positive way and a negative way. The positive way is I want to remind everybody that beating Oklahoma wasn't part of our main goals. We're ready to be back in the national light and everybody to stop looking down on us, and that's what the win tonight would have done. But actually, if we go out and beat Florida, then everything is forgotten, because really, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, that's where it's all at, and that's what Butch Jones is getting paid for and all this kind of stuff, okay? So looking at the big picture, this game can easily be overcome. But I'll say this. I do agree with some of the thoughts throughout the week that if we lose to Oklahoma, we actually have a lesser chance of beating Florida. I actually believe it, because there's pressure to beat Florida, and the pressure actually increases with the loss today, which is the main reason I wanted to beat Oklahoma, because I want Butch to stay ahead of the curve. Because if he keeps going at the average pace, there will be tons of pressure next year, and I don't want him to have that kind of pressure, because I think he will buckle under that pressure. So if we lost today, if we end up losing to Florida, that'll give us a 2-2 record. And even Dooley would have had us at a 2-2 record with the schedule.
Thank you. That's a great phone call. A great phone call. Tony, the pressure on that team now to go down to Florida, does it increase after losing Oklahoma?
Not really. Not. I mean, it would have been a great win for the program today. That would have been a great win, you know. But and it would have been a lot of momentum going into next week, and it would, I think it would have carried on over to the Florida game. But the meat of the schedule is coming up after this game next week. So we'll be Florida, you know, like you said, that it'll still be on your mind, but it'll be, you know, we'll push that in the back of our mind, but you'll still know it's there. You'll know it's there. So Florida win and continue on through the SEC. We got to play a whole lot better. We got to play better than we did tonight. As far as offensive-wise, we got to, you know, we got to, when it's there, we got to keep it rolling. Keep it rolling, man. You can't do that in SEC.
Smart Way and Dalton Behring and Hydraulics helping to present tonight's activity. Also want to thank my friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. Also want to thank Kazzy's, where we're going to be, for the Tennessee-Florida watch party. And my friends at First Mortgage Lenders as well. We'll keep the action going here. Tony, I know you've got a roll. You got to get to bed. Man, thank you so much. I'm trying to keep peace in your house there. Give me a final thought here on the way out, and then we'll bring Docky Boy Sean Sinclair in here.
Well, my final thoughts are, overall, I think we look good. We look good. Defense played wonderful tonight. Offense, we, first half, hey, I couldn't say anything. I was happy. I was real happy. Second half, we just looked, we were flat. We didn't come out and execute at all. And, you know, I think the coaches, we need to make better calls and, keep them guys in the game longer. I mean, receivers, that in and out, I don't think that's working. We need to keep those guys in, keep the guys in, you know, for a series or so. If they're tired, bring them out. But it's hard to get in the game when you're in and out the game, in and out, in and out. It's hard to get a feel for the game that way.
Tony, we got so much to talk about.
Right.
Appreciate you. Love you. Be in touch with you tomorrow. We'll go over our show, okay?
Okay. All right, Gene. Appreciate it, man. Hey, good night to you.
Hey, God bless. The great Tony Robinson. Dubsy, you got to leave the building. I'm going to get Cinco here on the line. I'm going to walk you out through the Raymere studio. We've got to go through the prism here to get you out. And I'm going to get Cinco up and let him give the listener his thoughts on today. If Cinco will go ahead and call us. Cinco, you've got the number. Dubsy, give me a final thought here on the way out.
Well, here's my fear, Tony.
All right.
And you work in radio and you do sales, right?
Yeah.
What's the key to sales, a good salesman? It's all about relationships, right?
Yes.
It's intangibles. It's hard to explain. It's not necessarily about hard work. It's just about can you make it happen? And when I look at Butch Jones, he's like, and you've been around radio stations, lots of salesmen. I look at Butch Jones and I worry that he's the guy who's got the nice clothes and the great haircut. Mm-hmm. He's got the nice suspenders. He just looks like $1 million. His little cubicle's got all the Zig Ziglar books.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
He's read all the books and has all the quotes memorized and everything.
I know where you're going.
But he never makes his quota. He can't close. He can't close the deal. That's what I worry about. And Butch has it. He looks good out there on the street. He's got a nice haircut. He's a great recruiter.
In my general manager days, I used to hire people, and I would go, that guy right there is going to be a winner. And he was a complete turd. Couldn't sell. Could talk all day long. Could not literally ask for the order.
That's what I worry about, Butch, is
can't get the order,
Kenny. He can recruit. He gets the players in here.
God,
he fits the suit.
That's crazy, man. That's just very good.
I'm terrified that he can't close. I hope I'm wrong. And, you know, maybe he can learn to close. He's still a young coach. This is his, ninth year as a head coach?
He can learn.
I guess.
People say he can't learn. I disagree with that. He can learn.
But that's what's so frustrating.
He's got a lot to learn, though.
This is almost a carbon copy of the Florida game last year, where you're playing well, you have a lead, you have an inferior team on the ropes in your building, and for whatever reason, you take your foot off the gas. You tighten up, and you blow it. It happened last year, and we had this same conversation. He's got to learn. He's got to get better. He's done this before. And here we are, year three, he's making the same mistakes that he made in year two.
That thing with the clock tonight, with snapping that ball with 25 seconds on a shot on a play clock and doing it repeatedly when you're up two scores is absolutely unforgivable and moronic. But what are you going to do? Let's go back and grab Sean Sinclair, Dr. Sean Sinclair to you, contributor to this program, contributor to Dubsy's program, and just basically a contributor to life. Cinco, it's 43 past 1 a.m. I don't know what's worse, that I'm up or you're up or that we're up, but all lines are currently jammed here at 865-200-5402 on your SmartWay Dalton Bearing Hydraulic 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. I promised Barney Boy I would keep the steam on to get him back to Roanoke, Virginia. Cinco, I would like you to give me like a minute, if you can, of just your thoughts. And while you're doing that, I'm gonna walk man Dubsy out. So go ahead, Cinco. Give me your thoughts on what we saw today.
Well, Tony, you could not draw up an atmosphere or environment better than what was today. I mean, the rain left 70 degrees-ish, little breeze. The fans, they said during the game that we set up, if whatever decibel record was, it was the loudest the stadium's ever been. The fans were completely engaged the whole time. And I sat there and I was talking to my buddy, and it was just like when we were watching the game at the end of the game, you know, toward the fourth, it was like watching your kid do something, you know, like play basketball or something, and you want to help them so much. You just want them to get over the hump, and they just can't do it. And, a lot of things there. Josh Dobbs just had a miserable game, in my opinion. I mean, just all, it was like every time he had a read, he chose the wrong option. He was so inaccurate. I don't know what you call when he bounces two screen passes, one to Kamara in the middle, the one on the outside to Pig Howard. He couldn't hit anything. You said this earlier in the year, Tone, or even last year, and it's so true. Butch Jones has no feel for a college football game. None at all. And I don't know where you go from that. I mean, I'm not ready to throw in the towel on this guy, but all I know is if you're under 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, you're up 14 points at home, you've held Oklahoma to 3 points and 170 total yards, that game's got to be over. I mean, you got to close that mother out, and that game's got to be over. And it's two games in a row that same script. About the offense, I'm not a big play-calling guy because you never know what's actually called, what happens there. But a couple things. We talked about the first possession field goal. I got a huge problem with the third down there. I mean, you're inside the five. Why are you running Kamara up the middle? If I remember right, you should have had Hurd in there. And everyone around me could not understand. It just seemed like a defeatist move to go for that field goal. I didn't get that. I certainly didn't get it declining a penalty that would have taken them to first and 25. That was idiotic, in my opinion. And I don't understand our offense, where we've watched two games in a row where the opponent's offense looks for a mismatch and goes and dissects that mismatch. And then you just knew in that overtime when they put Shepard in the slot and had him guarded by Jumper. I'm not going to rip Jumper. I mean, he is what he is. He's just not that good. But we didn't lose the game because of him. I just don't understand. There's so many things there that I don't get. I don't get why you have five or six receivers that are 4 and 5 star, that are 6'3" and taller, that are over 200 pounds, and you don't let them make a play. And then another one I disagree with you on is after TK's interception, I go up top. I mean, you got them down, you got them frustrated. I'm going for the jugular right there. And then if you want to run on second or third down, if you want to run Hurd, I'm fine with that. But at that time, you stick the knife in and you start twisting it at that point. And you go up 24-3, and that's ball game. So, a lot of things about that. Here's another thing. I'm not one to rip the refs, But on that last drive, and they, for, now I was on the opposite side, but I saw it on the Jumbotron. How do you interfere with a receiver who's already stepped out of bounds? I don't get that. It seemed like he would be an ineligible receiver.
On an uncatchable ball.
Well, I don't have a problem, because I don't know if that's, that, I don't see that a whole lot in the college ranks. But the guy had already stepped out of bounds before he was contacted. That's what it looked like to me. I don't get that. And I don't get, and there was, there were two guys, again, it, we didn't lose because of the refs, not even close.
The glaring procedure but penalties?
They, two guys jumped. Two guys jumped on that third and third down from the 4 yard line.
See, I don't think Jones was, what's the word? I don't think he was demonstrative enough over there. I think he should have snapped right there. To me, you've got to get the attention of somebody and say that you're not doing this to me in my building. You're just not. That's just not how this is supposed to work. I think your points are really well taken. You know, Sink, the thing about tonight's game is, and I think one of the reasons why we're still on here at 2 o'clock in the morning talking about it, is that there is so much left from that game to dissect. There are so many reasons to feel good about this team 1 year later. But man, that head coach just scares me. And I don't know any other way to say it than just to say it. And that's just how I am. You know me. I mean, we talk. Sean, that guy's game management scares me. And I know no other way to say it.
Well, he's, you know, here's the deal.
It scares me.
He's, you know, like Russell said, here, the guy's got a keys to a Ferrari, and he has no clue how to drive it. I mean, literally, you couldn't, the crowd was unfreaking believable. You know, and this is not, if anything, that game's going to help recruiting. I mean, that atmosphere is unreal.
Absolutely.
Those guys are just going to go crazy. So for anybody jumping off a bridge saying we're going to start losing, that works in our favor, because it was just crazy. Well, another thing here, look, in 2 years, he goes and gets in Trooper Taylor's face last year. And this year, if what I'm hearing, but there's, dude, you don't do those things. Like, Russell, shut your mouth, get back into the locker room. Oh, I mean, even if you want to talk about to Eric Stryker, you say, nice game, you're a fine player, then shut up and get to the, you don't start saying that. It's not your place.
It's not your player.
It's not your player.
If I was Bob Stoops, I would call him this week and say, don't ever talk to my, ever, and I mean ever, address my player on the field again. That's not
your place. That's high school Harry. That's Bush League.
Yeah,
that's right. But he, you know, again.
But he's worried about everything but what he needs to be worried about, which is really strange about him. And he does so many things well, and I don't want to blast him too badly, but other than to say, he scares me. And that's
well,
okay.
I'll tell you the thing that scares me is Josh Dobbs has gotten outplayed by two quarterbacks in two games. Baker Mayfield's an average quarterback at best.
I don't think they're helping Josh Dobbs. I do hear what you're saying. I don't think...
No, Tony, he had a horrendous game tonight. Horrible game. He easily could have had well over 100 yards rushing. He wasn't seeing it. There didn't seem to be... And I get it. He's a cool cat. Nothing ruffles him. But he just didn't see it. He didn't seem to have any... get up and go with the offense. Nothing seemed to feed off of him tonight.
Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. It is 1:52 in the AM and you're on with us. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing okay on this Sunday morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Colin? Thank you for keeping me up all the way back to the mid-state.
Oh, that's so great, man.
I know my wife appreciates it, so I wouldn't show up home dead. But at the game tonight, we got to stop this checker dealing. It's not going to work.
It was beautiful.
I was into it.
It's really cool. Checker dealing's cool.
It's cool for pictures, and it looks great on my desktop on my work computer. I'll tell you that. But that's all it's done. these two times we've done it. But like Cinco said, the crowd into it, the pregame stuff was fabulous. Man, felt like, as all comparisons have been so far, 2006 Cal.
Yep.
Everything up until, like you said, the going for it on the fourth and one inch, and I guess not going for it, kicking the field goal. Man, that felt like kicking the tail, running it all the way down there, and we give it to our 180-pound running back up the middle. Why not, like everybody said, the big Freightliner diesel truck we got back there, you know?
You would have to try to mismanage that series more than that. Just makes Sean, are you Cinco? Are you kicking the field goal there?
The first drive?
Yes.
No way in hell. No way in hell. I mean, I'm either doing this, either on third or fourth down. I'm either going quarterback sneak because they didn't cover the center on that play. There was a gap there. I'm either doing that or I'm putting, for third and fourth down, I'm putting Hurd in there. And still, they weren't, at that point in the game, there's no way in hell they're going 99 yards on you. They're not.
Well, Jerry
Colquitt. They couldn't do it later in the game.
Jerry Colquitt made a great point. You know this Oklahoma offense is slow starting from last week. You just know they are. And you knew they were going to get untracked the more you just kind of let them hang around, just sort of the way it is. And why would you not just lay it there and say to Hurd, go get me half a foot? And guys, if we can't get a half a foot, we don't deserve to score a touchdown here. But I'm not taking three cheap points. We're scoring a touchdown. We are going to put the wood on these people tonight. And we are going to, and this is the signal I'm sending to you, I'm sending to them, and I'm sending to the rest of college football. Damn it, we're back. And we are going to come back tonight. And with that attitude, sure as you came up from the mid-state, you should have driven back with a win tonight. And that's what really breaks my heart, because that's really what should have happened.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. One other thing I'm looking at, or I'm thinking about, too, this game or last week either, I didn't see a swing pass to any of the running backs. I guess there might have been one last week to Kamara, but this week, man, we could have used that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're blitzing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sean, what about T-Rob's point? Do you think they let Josh Dobbs use his aptitude at the line of scrimmage? In other words, when you see that end, or in Stryker's case, that outside linebacker is going to tee off on you, why not turn around and just run something his way, like a hot
read?
You
do. I've not seen a hot read in 3 years.
So it doesn't exist in Butch Jones' offense as
well.
Well,
I haven't seen it. I mean, that's exactly what you do. If you identify a blitzer, you throw right where he was going to be. You raise up and just drill the ball right there. I don't understand that. I don't get it.
It's going to be something really interesting to unpack on that TV show with Tony, because I don't know. So you're telling me, from your perspective, you don't think we've seen that at all?
Well, I can't recall it. I mean, I'm not telling you he hasn't done it, but I haven't seen it.
Anything else for us tonight from the Mid-State? And great talking to you, man. I'm glad you got back in one piece.
I'm trying to think. I know it's been said the end around the pig. I only saw that once. I think he did that once as well, didn't he? And then I would like to see Kamara do that. Kamara did it, what, 4, 5, 6 times last week?
Well, Von Pearson had a touchdown if he doesn't slip.
Yeah, he had one.
I mean, it's completely set up for him, and he just, there's some key things, you know. Malik Foreman played a pretty decent game, and he falls down. I mean, I'm not going to blame him, but this team and this coaching staff is not ready for prime time yet, and I'm not trying to be offensive to them. It's just not.
What's going through Aaron Meadows' head right now? I mean, the only field goal he can make is shorter than a extra point. He can't be
getting positive vibes going on through his head.
Well, let's put it this way. With Aaron Medley, and these guys again are just like, and I use this analogy a lot on my daily show, and I believe it. Those guys are relief pitchers, man. And you know, with relief pitchers in baseball, if you blow a save, okay, everybody blows a save. If you blow two, now all of a sudden, we got problems. And this guy right now has blown two saves.